Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. Here with my partners, Bill Davenport, Logan Runyon, Ralph Galati, and I think we have Senator Testa from the First District on the show. Michael, you with us?
I'm with you, Joe. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you and all your listeners, pal.
Sorry for the technical problem, but we're back on now. And thank you for all the kind words you say about me. You really, really do. Sometimes I think you overboard, but I personally, I wanted to come out publicly and say, you know, I'll always support you when you run. I think you're a good guy. You're a breath of fresh, young air that we need in politics down here. And we just want to say thank you and wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year's, everything that you do. Because being a senator, you don't make a lot of money, do you?
Not in the realm of being in the public service. No, you don't. But you know what? It's a pleasure and it's an honor to serve the people of the First Legislative District and really the people throughout the state of New Jersey. And look, Joe, you've made sure that all of veterans' issues are front and center to me. And that's why I do applaud you so much. Look, you're from the generation of Vietnam veterans. You're a Vietnam veteran yourself. They were the worst treated veterans out of any population ever in the United States. So, you know, even just today, because of you, Joe, and I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart, that, you know, I always say to the Vietnam veterans in a crowd, welcome home. Today was the wreath ceremony in Cumberland County at the Veterans Cemetery. And, you know, you couldn't believe, as cold as it was outside this morning, there were a few hundred people there. And you got to say to yourself, it's wonderful to see when a community comes together to remember their veterans at this time of year, the holiday season, whether it's Hanukkah, as you said, or Christmas. They were all out there, and I was blessed to be able to put a wreath on the headstone of a distant relative of mine, Lieutenant Daniel Testa, who was born in 1911 and was a World War II veteran.
And that is great. You know, Bill and I were at the Cape May County Cemetery down here in on the Parkway. And, Bill, how many wreaths did we put on?
I think he said 1,400 or 1,500.
Which is really great. And it's a big crowd. We had a couple hundred people showed up. It was done fast. I don't know if Michael, have you ever gone to Arlington?
I have not been to Arlington. No, I have not.
How about next year, if you, me, and Bill, and we'll get a couple people, we go to Arlington and we'll volunteer. They bring in 88 tractor trailers on Friday night at midnight. They open the gates and they stage them throughout Arlington. Then on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, the convoy with 13 trailers shows up. And they go to their designated places. They have 60,000 volunteers waiting there to unload 400,000 wreaths on the graves of veterans. And I always say this, and you live this, Senator. A veteran never dies till they're forgotten about. And Wreaths Across America is one thing that, especially around the holidays, lets families know that their sacrifice, their loss, is not forgotten. It's not, you know, up in smoke, or they're buried in the ground, and let's forget about them. It's not about that. You have relatives. Don't you have an uncle that's a full bird colonel, retired?
So my great uncle Luigi was a full bird colonel in World War II, and then my uncle Joe, who's still alive, was actually in the JAG Corps during the Sergeant Callie or Lieutenant Callie trial, my lie trials. You know, he's still around and is a retired Superior Court judge. And someone I want to suggest for you to have on your show is a dear friend of mine who's now the Director of Veteran Services here in Cumberland County. We met at the entrance exam for first grade for Sacred Heart Grammar School when we were kids. And he's a veteran, combat injured. In post-9/11 world, he spent 9 weeks in a German hospital, and now he's the Director of Veterans Services here in Cumberland County. His name's Steve Cervini. You would absolutely love him, Joe. It was his first time out at the Wreaths Across America today in the laying of the wreaths, and he did a fantastic job, and I couldn't be more proud of my good friend. And he was working along, you know, some other veterans who were showing him the way, who'd done it before in the past, and they're saying he's just, you know, off to the races with a fresh start for Cumberland County.
And, you know, Senator, do you remember when we met for the first time?
I think it was in Seattle City, if I remember.
No, no. It was in your hometown, Vineland. The naming of the Dominic Pilla Middle School.
Oh, that's right. Dominic Pilla, yeah.
Your uncle, that's still alive, was handing out American pins for people's lapels to wear that day outside the school. And you and I wore the same jacket that day.
We did.
And you came over, and we started a respect for one another that day. And with I'm sure your good friend Nick Asalta, just recently named the Vineland High School where you went for his brother Chickie.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's a first lieutenant and died in Vietnam, was killed in Vietnam. Yeah.
Yes, and Bill, you and I were there when they had boots on the ground and the senator spoke. Mm-hmm. What a fabulous event that was when, I don't know how many thousands of boots were on the ground of soldiers that died from, like, Vineland and Millville 3 or 4 years ago. And you were one of the...
That was a really heartwarming ceremony that was set up by Katrina D'Alessandro, if I remember correctly.
It's correct, yes.
Yes, it's my good friend that I grew up with, his younger brother, Michael. Joe is older. Joe is married to Katrina. She was the one who set that up and had come to my office to speak about that boots on the ground ceremony. And, you know, if that doesn't put a vision in your head about the ultimate sacrifices that are made so that we get to live in the greatest nation this world has ever known. And as we know, Ronald Reagan said many times that freedom isn't free. And the ultimate sacrifice that was made by so many of our soldiers and the people that are overseas right now during the holidays, and you think about it, that we get to celebrate our holidays free and have our friends and family over and drink eggnog and eat great meals. It's because of them. It's because of them. Without them, we would not have these freedoms, plain and simple.
You know, Senator Testa from the 1st District, sometimes towns like Vineland and Millville get overshadowed being around North Jersey, being around New York, being around Philadelphia. But a lot is done for veterans in the Millville, Vineland area, Atlantic City area. And sometimes you go overlooked. So that's why I'm always glad when Nick says, hey, Joe, or you call and say, we want to get involved in this. Because we, Bill, we sometimes forget that all the Vietnam veterans, the 50, almost 59,000 died, didn't die in major cities. They died in little towns, little boroughs, little counties, all across the country. And they should never be forgotten. Senator, you were there present. You were one of the speakers last year at the Flags of Liberty. And I want to give a shout out to your chief of staff, Arlene. What a nice
Arvine. Lady. Arvine. Arvine. Yes.
What a nice lady. I'll tell you what. We need people like her to run for office, too. What a breath of fresh air. She's so knowledgeable. She listens. She follows through with what she said she's going to do. But I was mentioning to her that on May 22nd of next year, which is only around the corner, thank God, Wildwood Convention Center, you were there for the Flags of Liberty last year when they unfolded, I think, 140 casket flags of veterans. What did you think of that day?
I mean, look, when we talk, Joe, I get chills talking about it because you understand how Mayor Troiano is such a dedicated public servant who has that Vietnam wall right there in Wildwood. And to see that and all of the veterans that are out remembering their brothers. Look, because how many, this is another thing that's long forgotten, Joe.
Yeah.
How many people that are veterans here lost friends when they were 19, 20 years old? They were kids. They were kids, you know, and I remember the stories my mom and dad would tell me when they were in the cafeteria at Vineland High, and they would read the names of fallen Vinelanders over the loudspeaker. So these were kids that they grew up together, and they're hearing names of friends, relatives who got killed in Vietnam. I mean, I can't even imagine that. I was blessed in my generation. We didn't have to live through that, but geez, we should never forget that.
Your mom and dad lived through it.
Yes.
And I just don't understand why people, you can hate the war, don't hate the warrior. But also on this year, we're going to have it May 22nd, the Friday before Memorial Day. And we want to make sure, I said to Arvin, please tell the senator to put this on his calendar. Actually, April 23rd, registration starts, I believe, today, Bill.
Lori will tell us later today.
She's going to be on. But
it should go up by 6 o'clock tonight.
Senator, we're looking at 400 flags this year. We were able to do away with the $30 registration. Our show was able to get Blue Cross Blue Shield to pick up the tab, and there'll be no registration. I mean, there'll be registration just so we can give you a T-shirt and a pin, but you wanted to pay no money because the Welcome Home Show, Bill Davenport and Joe Griffiths and Logan Runyon and Ralph Galati will not be part of any money ever being exchanged for the American flag, not on our show. And Blue Cross Blue Shield stepped up right away, but we are bringing the Sojour, it's S-O-J-O-U-R. It's a flag we unfolded in front of the Vietnam Wall on the Army's birthday, and we handed it off to Mike Knapp, who is the president of the Overseas Battle Commission that takes care of the 26 cemeteries around the world in 10 countries, and they flew it 3 days later than Normandy, and it flew it all 26 cemeteries, 3 days. It made its way back to United States. It flew at Wake, I believe Guam, 3 days on the Arizona, making its way up to California. It will spend 3 days in each state. It flew to Notre Dame a month ago for their football game. Today, it's being unfolded. And unfortunately, the Army-Navy game is in Baltimore, not Philadelphia. It's being unfolded at the opening of the game. And on March 22nd, that Sojour flag that has flown around the world, the 250th Army birthday, that we hope will be someday rested in either the White House or in the Rotunda as the 250th flag of the country, will be coming, Senator, to your district, Wildwood, New Jersey, and will be hanging during the Flags of Liberty ceremony behind the Vietnam Wall. And that's the flag that must touch every state for 3 days. They're going to interrupt where it's at on the East Coast, and they're going to bring it to Wildwood. And that's why it was important that we let you know about making sure that you are that day on your schedule to be in Wildwood, because it's going to bring world attention. And just so everybody knows, Senator, 400 casket flags. Well, I don't know how, we didn't do the lineup yet, but my suggestion is we go on each end of the boardwalk, each end of the Vietnam Wall, across the street and up the ramps to the boardwalk, and then Bill and Senator, one section goes to the left, one goes to the right, and that will cover 16 football fields of open casket American flags. So
that's remarkable, and look, I wouldn't miss it. It's on my schedule. I will not miss it, and you know why? The city of Wildwood has such a special place in my heart. You know my Uncle Tom McCann very well. His brother Johnny was, then they called them captains of the Beach Patrol. Now it's the chief of the Beach Patrol. My first job ever was in the city of Wildwood as a member of the Wildwood Beach Patrol, and that's because of the McCann family. And, you know, I love those guys, my uncle, obviously, and John McCann, who was the captain back then. So anytime anything is wild,
I have to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
John, Tommy McCann, as far as I'm concerned, is the best lifeguard that ever lived in the country. Nobody could do when a lifeguard beats it. When everybody left at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, the lifeguards, he rode the Jeep up and down till dark, protecting those beaches. And then he used to go, him and his brother would get him, what do they call them, scullies or them rowboats that they do in the regattas and all. And he'd go out in the ocean with that. And I rented my first home. I come home from Vietnam. My first house I rented when I came home from Vietnam was McCann's at 43rd and Pleasure. Mr. and Mrs. McCann, all the kids, Charlie, Tommy, Joey, Chris, Angel.
There's 12 McCann children, so, but you knew Chuck McCann. He's a legend. He was still swimming, you know, into his late 70s. I remember it as a kid. I mean, he was slow, but he still was swimming, you know, the around the island swim. He was a remarkable human being. And what a great family they built together in the McCann family.
Chuck would start in Strathmere and swim out about 50 yards beyond where the people were allowed to swim. And he had one of them rubber, what do they call them, red inner tubes that the lifeguards have. He had that around his neck, and he would swim.
There's the torpedo, and then there's the can. There's two different ones. And the old time was the can, and then it became the torpedo.
It had to be an old one because I'm going back 50 years. And he would swim to Townsend's Inlet because he was getting in shape for the seniors Olympics in Atlantic City that they had every year. The McCanns were, look, I knew Tommy and them guys probably before you were born. And what a great, great family. Great, great family.
Fantastic family. And listen to this, Joe. We you and I are so connected. One of the last times I was on your show was the day I was cutting my Christmas tree down. And right now I'm on my way with my wife and family to go cut our Christmas tree. So
and
I do need to go very shortly.
I'm going to let you go, but is there anything special that you want to work on with the new administration coming in that you want to get done?
I just want to make sure that South Jersey is highlighted, because for far too long, South Jersey gets the short end of the stick. And when you think about, you know, we spoke about the McCann family, we spoke about Wildwood. When you talk about all of Cape May County that I represent, it is the second highest tourism revenue generating county in the state of New Jersey, and so much of that tax revenue goes, you know, into the general fund of the budget. That money should be going back to Cape May County so the roads can be paved, bridges can be repaired or new bridges built, beaches could be replenished, and boardwalks could be repaired, so that this way our tourism industry is never affected, because it's the lifeblood of our economy in Cape May County.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest problems in Trenton is too many politicians think that Cape May County is part of Delaware, and we're not part of New Jersey, and they don't come here. And let's face it, it's a two-hour ride from Trenton to Cape May County. So a lot of people don't want to travel, especially in the summer, because they know that two-hour ride is now 4 or 5 hours to get home. That's why we have to widen our roads, lengthen our roads, improve our roads, fix our beaches. And guess what? I guarantee you, if we can extend 55, and that's my goal for next year, to work with you and Governor-elect Mikey Sherrill and whoever else has to be, we could take an $8 billion economy and make it $15 billion, because people don't want, they get tired of coming, Christy. It's 5 hours to get home on the weekends in the summer, if you can get home.
And you're absolutely right, Joe. And I made that a campaign issue back in 2019. I bring it up each and every single year. We need Route 55 to be extended to what was originally planned. That was the original plan. We could spend a whole nother show on
Amen.
That.
Amen. Amen.
But Joe, I got to get going. I got to go cut a tree down, pal.
Listen, we will never interfere with a Hallmark moment. So, Senator, go cut that tree down. Be careful. And just God bless you. And thanks for always being there when we call you.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you all. God bless you all. And have a happy and safe, healthy New Year. Thank you.
That was Senator Michael L. Tessa from the 1st District of New Jersey. We're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Welcome Home Show.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. Toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the moment.
Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. You know, Bill, sometimes we forget we got Ralph on the phone. Ralph is a partner on our show. Ralph, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great, Joe.
Great speech at the Read Across America at the Chapel of the Four Chaplains.
Thanks. Wasn't that great? One of those people are the best, aren't they?
You got to see it to believe it. You got to see it to believe it. Well, they couldn't bring the trailers all in. They had to park them in another area. But, Ralph, there must have been 50, 60 automobiles, police, state police from Maine. And they stay with them for 10 days, the trip down and the trip back home.
And then there's the cyclists. Imagine then the cyclists in the cold weather. It's incredible.
All the cars that were wrapped, I'm not talking about like a sign on Reeves Across America. Bill, all the cars were done in blue. With Reeves all over the cars. And Mrs. Worcester, Jeff Pearson, the president of the radio end of it, the operation. Wayne was up there. He's the CEO. Just regular people. They were just in jeans and boots. Nothing fancy about them, except the 4 million Reeves that they're putting on graves now, right now. And you've been to Delaware County where they showed up. You've been you've spoken to about 4 or 5 of them, the events where they travel in the caravan.
Yeah, a couple in Delaware, a couple in Pennsylvania. I did one in Maryland. I mean, it's not only just impressive, but I remember the first time I was there, and the original, the husband, Mel Worcester, he said, I'm just a wreath maker from Maine. And that's how he views himself. The whole group is just, that's how that you like. They're just average people, but they've managed to do something really extraordinary.
Bill, do you and Ralph know how he got the idea?
I don't recall it offhand.
He won a paper route contest, and the prize was a trip to Arlington. As he was 14 years old. And then 10, 15 years later, he has a wreath business, a florist. He's stuck with 5,000 wreaths. He calls his state senators, probably somebody like Mike Testa, and says, hey, I need a contact for Arlington. He sends the wreaths down to Arlington to the oldest section that gets no visitors. The next year he added another 5. He did 10. The 5,000 to the oldest, 5,000 to the newest. It took him about 8 years, and he blanketed. Today, Ralph, 400,000 wreaths will be on the graves in Arlington National Cemetery.
Yeah, and then several million more around the country. I think it's almost 5,000 locations around the country now. Incredible.
Yeah, totally, totally incredible. But listen, Ralph, and I know Bill lives down there. He's born and raised in Wildwood. But we have on Lori Condor, and we have on, and Lori is the chairperson for the Flags of Liberty for the North Wildwood Elks, and we have on Lou Belasco, who is the executive director of the Wildwood Convention Center. And I guess Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone, Lou and Lori. But
thanks,
really,
Joe.
We all have the same goal, I think, Lou. Am I safe saying that? What's going to happen? Lou, what's going to happen May 22nd in Wildwood in front of the, right in between the convention hall and the Vietnam Wall?
Well, Joe, what we're going to host is the second time that we will have the Flags of Liberty event right in front of our building. And as you said, not so much. Our building isn't as important as the Vietnam Wall Memorial replica that sits right across from our building. We had it last year down here. It was truly, truly a moving event where we were able to unfurl about 200 casket flags, so people could remember their veterans. Lori was able to read off the names of all of the individual veterans. It was truly a moving ceremony, especially I had not seen the Flags of Liberty when it used to occur on the North Wildwood Seawall. So having seen it last year for the first time, we realized the importance of the event, and with the help and in the North Wildwood Elks, along with the help of the your radio show, the Welcome Home Veterans Radio Show, we've been able to secure the Sojourn 250 flag to make its appearance in Wildwood here, kicking off the Memorial Day weekend, where we remember those that have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms that we enjoy today. There's really no event like it, at least within Cape May County that I'm aware of, that that really puts a point on what this weekend means. You know, it's
wait a minute,
yes,
Lou.
We want everybody to come down and enjoy themselves, but we need to remember why we have a three-day weekend.
Wait a minute, Lou. Hold on. Bill, would you agree? Mm-hmm. There might be no place in the country going to be doing what we're doing. Not with casket flags.
But my guess is in a few years there will be more.
Well, I sure hope so. Yeah.
Well,
we've grown the event. I mean, when we first started Flags of Liberty 10 years ago, it started with just a small handful of people, like six people, unfurling a flag on 4th of July weekend. And we've really grown the event this year. It's our 10th anniversary. And it's also the 250th birthday of our great nation. So my goal is to have 250 flags unfurled, honoring our men and women who have served, who have passed. This past year, when we did the Gold Star Mom,
and that is a highly achievable goal. As the Elks have generously decided not to charge a registration fee this year, I think we will see a much larger participation than we did, which we saw a huge increase in participation this past year.
Right.
And it's just a pays homage to how much dedication was put in by the Elks and the Elks Veterans Committee getting this thing across the finish line. You know, there's a lot of planning that goes into this. You know, I know Rory starts planning for the next year almost as soon as the event's over.
Absolutely.
So, and getting the Sojourn 250 flag was just a huge feather in the cap. Number one, it's where this flag belonged on Memorial Day weekend, at this event, across from that Vietnam War Memorial. And also across the street is the Korean War Memorial, World War II Memorial. You know, it is really a veterans park, so to speak, that
at
we
opposite,
have right across from us.
At the opposite end on Atlantic Avenue is the World War I monument also.
Yes.
We cover
all of the 20th century conflicts, this past year we saw the opening of the Gold Star Memorial Park in North Wildwood, which the VFW, through Bill's great efforts, was able to get open down there. It brings to memorialize those who are still losing their lives today as we continue to fight for our freedoms. It's quite miraculous. What you can see here and the level of care and support that the Wildwoods give to our veterans day after day. So we're super glad that here at the Convention Center we're able to be a part of this and lend a hand in pulling this together.
You know, I do want to make a little bit of a correction, but a comment. That regardless if we have 200 flags this year or 500 flags this year, long before the Saint George flag arrives and long before the flags of Liberty arrive, that Vietnam Wall represents 58,700 casket flags. So whatever number we get, we have to add it on to the 58,000, Bill?
Almost 59,000.
Almost 59,000, every merchant on that wall. There might be a few that might have been declared missing in action and then declared dead. We never got the returns back. But everyone on that wall got a casket flag for their family.
Yes. And in Flags of Liberty, the very last flag in the array of flags is always a flag honoring the missing in action and POW.
That is fabulous.
So we always unfurl
great.
A flag in their honor and in their remembrance.
That is great. Now, Lou, I think Lori thinks I exaggerate a little bit, but I think we're going to have at least 400 flags. I have no doubt about it. She's going to lose sleep over this. But
yes.
Lou,
Lori, rest assured. the convention center and our staff will make sure that no matter how many flags show up, we're here and we're going to help and we're going to make sure it goes off. So don't lose any sleep.
Now listen, hold on everybody. We got to take a fast break. It's only for a minute. We're going to bring you back. We want to talk, Lori, we want to talk about where the Sanjour flag is today in Baltimore. And Lou, we also want you to describe that big flag that's dropped off the roof of the convention center. You're listening to the Welcome Home Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. Ralph Galati, I think it's important, and Laurie and Lou, I want to introduce you to Ralph Galati. Ralph spent 14 months in the Hanoi Hilton, the Vietnam veteran prisoner of war. Took a beating. I think it's really important. Bill, when we raised the Sojour flag behind the Vietnam Wall, I think it's important that we have a POW flag underneath that flying.
It would be nice, yeah.
What do you think, Ralph? Room.
Well, as I told you before, Joe, I think I've got Santa coming down the street here. I find it remarkable that people, 50-some years later, this flag was created around 1971, that it's still flying and it is still recognized and people still respect it for what it was, but also they're really giving it acknowledgement. As you've often said, that we just will not forget the missing in action or the families that are being represented. So anybody that continues to do that, I really admire what they're doing. So thank you for doing it.
And Lori and Lou, I'd like to introduce you to Ralph Galati, a truly remarkable hero, maybe the most well-known veteran in the Delaware Valley. And just does a lot of work, a lot of talks, a lot of speaks. And Ralph, you're going to be down there that day, God willing, hopefully.
As long as I'm still alive, Joe, I'll be there.
Yeah, and if I'm alive, I'll be with you. If Bill's alive, he'll be with you. And Lori, wouldn't that be nice to have a POW guy right there just in the presence to people can shake his hand and talk to
yes,
him?
Yes, yes. And Ralph, I just want to say thank you for your service and your sacrifice and all that you suffered through that. And it'll be an honor to shake your hand. I can't wait to meet you May 22nd, 2026.
Well, yeah. Thanks for what you're doing. I know your committee and with the promotions from Joe and Bill in the studio, it'll be a big success. And I think Joe's right. It's going to be closer to 400 than 250. But thanks for never giving up on us. We really appreciate that. That we were never forgotten or abandoned. Thank you.
And I really want to say thank you to Lou, too, because with that partnership last year, that was our first year we partnered up, we really, the promotional capabilities that the Convention Center and Guatita gave to us, the Guatita is the Greater Wildwood Tourism Improvement Development Authority, and they really have a great outreach, and they really helped us reach so many more people. And this year, I met lots of really incredible veterans at the Gold Star dedication. That was also, I believe, in May. And I met so many people. One of them I met was Patricia Bai. She is the president of the State of New Jersey Gold Star Mom Organization. And I just spoke last Sunday at their annual Christmas luncheon. I spoke to 70 families that were there. It was so emotional and so humbling for me to be in the presence of people whose sons and daughters paid the ultimate sacrifice actively serving. And I said, there is no better way to honor them than for them to come out and raise a flag unfurl a flag in honor of their sons and daughters. So they're planning a whole bus trip to come out and participate in this year's Flags of Liberty. So that was truly a humbling experience, and it just was such an honor to reach them and have them participate in this.
And our friend Terry Farham was up there, a Vietnam veteran, a CB, and he's very well known, like Packard Hughes is, over the country for just being there for Gold Star Mothers. He dedicated his whole life to them. And Lori, a great thing about having this, the North Wildwood Elks Flags of Liberty coming to Wildwood is, number one, we can accommodate buses coming in the parking lot.
Right.
We can Lou, there's nothing that you can't accommodate, is there?
No, this is what our event space was built for. You know, we're not, you know, routinely we'll turn away people that have less than 100. You know, for their event they have less than 100 people coming in. It's like we're a little too big for you. So bigger the better. We have a massive 200,000 square foot building right here, as well as blocks of parking. There's no crowd we're not going to be able to accommodate. I'm fully confident that however many people show up, we will make sure that they're able to get into this building, get their flags, get them lined up outside, and they will be a part of really a world-class event. So it's really riveting to if you haven't been to it, it's something that you have to attend. If you don't have a veteran in your family that has passed away that you could remember, we have people that do submit their veterans to be remembered, so we always need a couple extra flag holders. So don't let that hold you back from attending the event.
Right.
By all means, everybody should see this at least once.
Well, Lou, let's get one thing straight. Can anybody name another place in the country that you can unfold a few hundred casket flags on a boardwalk, the backdrop of the sky, the ocean, the sand, and have one of the largest wooden roller coasters and Ferris wheels in the world in your backdrop?
That's right. As you stated before, Joe, if we drop a 30-foot high American flag on the side of the building, It is truly a moving event, and it's what this event should be, right? I mean, this is it should be big. It should be it's a solemn event, but it's really a remembrance and a celebration of America and America's heroes.
And that's why the Sojourn flag is a biblical term, and it just ties in with it. Listen, two fast questions before we got to move on. Is one, Lou, is your son down at the Army-Navy game in Baltimore?
He is right there. I just got a picture from him from where he's sitting. He's actually undercover, so if it starts to rain, he's in a good spot. But prior to coming on here, I was...
Wait a minute, Lou. If it starts raining, upperclassmen are going to chase him out of that spot. They're going to take the cover. And we're so proud of your son. Young guy, could have went anywhere, he decided to go in. I know his dad. I know you're really proud. And Lori, would you tell everyone we were talking what flag did they unfold? And it's flying over the stadium for the Army-Navy game today.
Right now, that Sojourn flag is at the Army-Navy game. Yes, it is.
Then it will leave and continue spending 3 days in each state until it arrives here in... I guess it'll come. I'll have an exact date for everyone. But, Lori, before we get off, we took care of the guest speaker for that day.
Yes.
That day.
Yeah.
And you could say who that one if you want to. If you don't have to, you don't have to say it.
Okay. All right. Well, two things. I want to say who the keynote speaker is going to be. But the second thing is I want to tell everybody where they can go and see a video of last year's event. So, first of all, it is my honor and privilege to announce that our keynote speaker is going to be the new governor of New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill. Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Thanks to Joe. I think that's really, thank you, Joe. That's a really impressive keynote speaker. She's a veteran. And it's just a wonderful thing.
Actually, yes. Actually, Lori and Lou, she texted me this morning. She's down. Her husband's an Annapolis grad. She's an Annapolis grad. And two of her sons are in Annapolis. So they're all down. And I said to her, I said, are you going to sit in the presidential box? You're now the governor of one of the original 13 colonies. She said, Joe, I sit with my classmates, my friends, right in the stands.
Nice.
She says,
nice.
I'm not the governor at the Army-Navy game. I'm just a proud alumni. And yes, that flag is flying at that stadium. It's only one of six or seven spots. It was picked to Mount Rushmore, Notre Dame, Army-Navy game, a few other spots. And they're happy. They're as happy over coming to Wildwood as they were flying it on top of Mount Rushmore.
Wow.
And
hey, listen,
great.
Before we go, I have to give everybody listening this link.
Go ahead.
You go to wildwoodsnj.com/FOL, like Flags of Liberty, FOL, and you'll be able to see a video of last year's event. Registration will be open come, I believe, Monday. We're testing out the link for registration right now, and registration will be free. So for free, you're going to get to unfurl your flag. You'll get a T-shirt with your veteran's name and branch of service on the back. You will get four tickets to this wonderful luncheon that the convention center hosts after the event. And it's. I hope many, many people will register and sign up for this year's event. But go to that link.
Lori, remember, not many people are going to go to lunch after unfolding hundreds and hundreds of casket flags, a San Jose flag, and then have lunch with a 25-piece orchestra. Bill, what's their name, the traveling orchestra down here?
John Walters.
Walters Band. Yes.
I knew Lou's going to take care of getting them back again.
Absolutely.
Why would you not want to sit and listen to patriotic music on an orchestra, by a live orchestra, while you're eating lunch? I just got one more question. Question, Lori. I know a big concern of yours at every meeting is you need people stationed around the area just to keep organization. And I was mentioned to Bill Davenport, and I think Bill and the VFW would be a perfect choice for that.
Yes, yes. We need some strong personnel on the ground. So if anybody's listening who's retired platoon leaders, drill sergeants, logistics people, if you can volunteer for that event that day, check-in is at 9. We usually unfurl the flags after the speakers and whatnot, usually around 11 a.m., and then we have lunch around 12-ish. So it's a good 4 or 5 hours, but that's what we need. We need some good people on the ground to help our boots on the ground.
And, Lori, I think Bill would be the person that would be great to organize that. And that'll take less pressure off of you. What do you say, Bill?
Awesome.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the veterans want to get involved. They've been wanting to get involved for 10 years, but
politics get involved.
Yeah, something got in the way of veterans something got in the way of veterans helping veterans on Memorial Day weekend.
Well, let me tell
that's
you,
all going
we
now.
Don't have
that's
anything in the way anymore.
Nope.
We are full on. This is all of us together, because honestly, that's what our military is. No man left behind, and we are all fighting for the same thing, our country and our freedom, and freedom isn't free. So honoring those who have passed is my life's mission. I don't want any veteran forgotten.
No, and you do a great job at Lori and Lou. The convention center looks great with all those trees and your staff, and it's the tree outside the convention hall. Just beautiful.
And Lou, let me, because I know you weren't there. You were probably still in high school when it happened. But you know those few trees you have in the main lobby as you walk in?
Yes.
The very first Christmas celebration in there was about 20 people, and that was the extent of Christmas and the convention center. And look what it's grown into.
Time.
Yeah, there was less than 20 of us there at the time, and some were little kids, babies.
Lou and John before him are responsible for getting a lot of things done at the convention center. It's a proud building, and we're going to have the military basketball there, I'm sure, later on in the summer. And Hopefully, when the new governor comes in, we'll be able to twist her arm to build two or three hotels along it and make it a year-round. How would that be, Lou? A year-round convention center.
That would be fantastic. You know, there's very few convention centers in the United States that don't have a host hotel. It's the only thing that's missing from this building.
Wow.
And I agree. That's been missing, and it's sorely needed.
Yeah, and I think...
How about that?
And we're also working on a parking tower. A little surprised, everyone, but a little... We're working on it, but with the Secretary of Transportation. It's already in the works. We're going to come down and look about building a parking tower. Listen, we got to run.
How about that?
We're going to start right after the New Year's with every week. We'll have Ernie on. We'll have you on, Lou. We'll have Lori on. We'll have Sheriff Bunny. We'll have Rommel. We'll have Mike Knapp from the Overseas Battlefield Commission. We're going to have people on every week promoting this. And this show will be able to answer pretty much any questions. If anybody has questions that we can answer, we'll get them in touch with Lou. We'll get them in touch with you, Lori. And we're all in this together. It's one pot, one spoon, and one broth. And the only thing that moves is when we stir it, and we all stir it in the same direction. And that's our. I wouldn't be involved with many organizations doing something this big if there wasn't people, Lou, like you and Ernie, and Mr. Prendergrass and Lori involved in it too, and the Sheriff's Department,
you,
all that. We got to go to a break. God bless you.
All right. Merry
thank
Christmas,
you.
Everybody.
Right.
Talk to you soon.
Merry
go
Christmas.
Army. Go Army, Lou.
Yes, go Army.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear.
Welcome back, everybody. As we always do on our Sunday show, and today being December 14th, we announce the birthdays and the casualties on the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C., and Wildwood, New Jersey, and numerous other walls of various sizes throughout the country. Today, birthdays would have been 152, one from New Jersey. Casualties, 119, also one from New Jersey. No locals of the 35 KIAs from Cape May County. There was none with a birthday or a casualty near today. There was one Wildwood man killed in Korea, Bernard L. Pearson, United States Air Force. He was born December 14th, 1924. He died October 25th, 1954 was the official government date, but he was an MIA, and he's still MIA because the body's never been recovered. November 11th, 1950, which was Veterans Day, he died in Korea as his plane crashed, and it was witnessed that it exploded on the side of a hill, so that's probably why there was no remains. Just coming over the wire, and by the end of the show, you'll be able to Google more information. Two service members and one civilian were killed in Syria on Saturday. Three also were wounded. The details will be, I'm sure, on the air by the time you hear this show.
You know, we have, Ralph, we got two ladies on the show right now. Dr. Laura Garber, who founded I guess I don't want to say she made a mistake. She found a box of Christmas cards in her basement, and she gave everybody four or five at the table, six or eight people, and asked them to just write a note and all, and she would get them to a veteran overseas. Doc, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, my friend.
Listen, wait a minute. We're going to get back to you in a minute.
I want you to ask this question. I'm just saying it's cold.
I know. Listen, how many Christmas cards have you sent out so far?
Over 1.5 million.
God bless you. And Vicky, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Now, I have a question. We have Ralph Galati on the phone. Doc and Vicky, if you guys were around 50 years ago, I have no doubt, Dr. Laura, that you would have gotten Christmas cards to the prisoners of war in Hanoi. And Vicky, I have no doubt you would have got presents to them. I have no doubt nobody would have stopped you two from doing what you do. Vicky, I want to read something first while you're on the air. I just received one of 12 days of Christmas packages from my husband deployed in Iraq, and it made me cry. I wanted to say thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. This is our 16th deployment, and while they get more familiar, they never really get any easier. These packages made me really, really made my day, and I just wanted to say thank you, Vicky, for what you do. Vicky, what is your organization? And I love it. I brag about a lot of things, but what you and Dr. Laura do are above and beyond great. Tell us about your organization and what you do.
Well, started when my son was deployed and asked me to send something to his girlfriend. And so what we do is service members sign up and handwrite a love note to their mom, dad, spouse, siblings, whatever. And we put together a box of 12 gifts that are very curated and special and just for them, not for the house, not for the kids, and we send it in their stead. We do a very similar thing for Mother's Day. We take a portion of the boxes to Walter Reed, and pre-COVID, we would actually go room to room and then afterwards work with the wounded warriors that are outpatients. And it just gives them a chance to honor those who have been by their bedside. And I think that's the whole focus, is connecting service members and their source of support, and just really bringing it all full circle, because they're supporting all of us here at home. So it's a giving, joyful, hopeful enterprise.
Vicky, do you know what you do? Veterans don't leave veterans behind on the battlefield.
No.
Vicky Durfee, from your organization, it's Full Circle Homes. Am I saying it correctly?
That's right, yeah.
You don't leave veterans leave their parents or their spouses behind. Can you imagine, Doc, can you imagine, and Ralph, can you imagine being a parent of a 20-year-old female veteran that just lost both their legs, walking into the room at Walter Reed, and they hand you a Christmas present? Doc, what do you think about that?
No, I can't imagine. And Vicky, I wish I could see you and meet you face to face. I'm here in New Hampshire. I don't know where you are, but what you're doing sounds amazing. And the word connection is what it's all about. I want to tell you guys something just a little up front. I told Logan, we were a little bit late going, and I only have a few minutes now. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But I wanted to say hello, and wow, Vicky, I'd love to meet you.
Hey, Doc.
Let's plan on it.
Doc, real quick, we know you got to go real fast. Do you think maybe next year we can get you teamed up with Vicky and maybe get some Christmas cards in those packages?
I would give you as many cards as you need. They come from all 50 states. I would love it. You would never have to think about getting another holiday card signed ever again, and you can focus on your packages.
Doc, before you got to go, tell the story real fast about what happened years ago at your Thanksgiving table.
Okay, Vicki, I'm sorry, I don't mean to step in here, but I'm
running
out the door.
So, Vicki's going to be on after you're done. So go ahead, tell your story.
22 years ago, every single chair was filled at my Thanksgiving table. I knew that on many tables that there were empty chairs. Deployed at training camp, veteran care centers, God forbid, Gold Star families. And I wanted our children to know that we were so blessed, so thankful that all our chairs were filled, but that not everybody's were. So I went downstairs, whatever the reason was, dragged up a whole bunch of holiday cards, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas. We started signing them. Boom, do that 14 years. Boom, turned into a nonprofit. And since 2017, all states, Canada, Europe, Mexico, people sign cards. Big companies like Disney and Pixar and Apple, little mom-and-pop companies, you know, little ice cream shops by the side of the road, because it's all about, like Vicki said, the connections and letting people know that you care. And like Joe said, we don't leave them behind.
Okay, Vicki, so, Dr. Laura, really quick. Our great postal workers are fabulous. I think the post office might be one of the largest government. Bill, I think, and Ralph, I think they're one of the largest government employers of veterans that come
yes.
home and this and that. Doc,
we love them.
Doc,
we
now
love
wait a
them,
minute.
We love
you're sending out hundreds of thousands of cards. You just don't go to the corner mailbox, pull that little lid down, and start jamming Christmas cards in it. What does the post office do for you?
Well, we bundle them up in boxes of 1,000, and we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who proofread them and count them and bundle them and put them in boxes. So we go to the post office. They open up early for us at 5 a.m. There's like with the police and the firemen are there. And it's like a very, you know, small town, like if you visit, you know, build it, they will come kind of thing. So we all pitch in. We have, you know, Dunkin' Donuts. we're there passing boxes up over the counter. And we mail them out. We do those mailings probably 5 times from September through the middle of December. And so the Postal Services are my favorite people.
And you're up in the great state of New Hampshire.
Yeah, and there's a little tiny post office. And
you're not that little. You're not that little, Doc. Let me tell you. Listen, can you give a number if people want to make contributions? Because you got to buy stamps. And
yes, oh boy, do we. So that's amazing. So if anybody wants to help out with postage, go on GiveButter.com. GiveButter.com. It's so easy. Book up holiday cards for a military challenge, and you just bam, whether it's a dollar, whether it's a gazillion dollars, GiveButter.com. It'll help us. We're a nonprofit. We promise to get that money to the postage to get your beautiful cards and messages of cheer and care to our warriors. All branches, all veterans, all military families.
I guess it's safe to say, Doc, you gotta really be careful what you do at your Thanksgiving Day table. You don't know what it's gonna lead to. Listen, I know you gotta go, and I know you made time for us. You've been on our show for a dozen years. God bless you. You know I love you. We love you from our show.
I love you too, Joe.
And keep.
I'm waiting for good things from you to hear. I always hear good things. You do such wonderful things, you and your colleagues there. And Vicki, nice to meet you. Let's connect.
I would love that.
I don't know. Maybe I'll run for president someday. Don't you have to go up New Hampshire? Don't they have primaries in New Hampshire?
You do. I'll be your campaign manager here.
Okay.
I love you, Joe.
All right.
I'm sorry to zip, but happy, healthy holidays. GiveButter.com if you can for even just a little bit. Holiday cards for a military challenge.
You got it, Doc. We're going to go to a break. Hold on, Vicki. We'll be back after a break.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground. It's time for play. It's a whipped cream day. I wait for it to hold you around. Those are marshmallow clouds being friendly in the arms of the evergreen trees. And the sun is red. pumpkin head. It's shining so your nose won't freeze. Oh, the world is your snowball. See how it grows. That's how it goes. Whenever it snows, the world is your snowball just for a song. Get out and roll it along. Oh, it's a yummy, yummy world made for sweethearts. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar date. What if spring is...
When I first saw the package in the mail, I thought perhaps it was something to be sent to my husband. I then realized it was for me. I loved reading his handwritten note that was attached inside the card, but it was in the reading the note from Full Circle Home that brought tears to my eyes. To have someone acknowledge the hardship I am going through, well, it made me feel great. It's not that I haven't heard people thank me for my support and for my husband's service to his country, but those were just words. I also know of many wonderful programs available to service members and their families, but this is the first time I've actually been on the receiving end. I also want to thank you for doing this for my husband. When I told him about the beautiful wrapped gifts and how much I liked and appreciated them, I know he was smiling on the other end of the phone, and he was happy because I was. What a wonderful program this is. Thank you, everyone, for this program, Full Circle Homes. Vicki, how do you feel when you read these kind of letters? And it all started with your son.
It all started with my son. And I was just thinking I was going to do this one effort for Christmas. I had no idea. I had no plans. It was going to be anything more than that.
Well, wait a minute. Let's explain something a minute. Where was your son at? I mean, your son must have had a pretty damn good excuse because he couldn't buy his mother a present at Christmas. Where was your son at that he couldn't get you a present?
He was in Iraq.
In Iraq.
But I loved his girlfriend, so I was glad she got it.
I guess, Ralph, that's a pretty good reason not to be able to... Ralph, don't they have Macy's in Iraq?
No.
They don't have mail forwarding, you know, they don't have special delivery. You're lucky to get anything in combat zones.
Yeah.
And when you do get something so precious like that, it's amazing. And, you know, and then the family connection is just perfect because, you know, there's no shopping malls over there, for God's sakes.
And we have Lisa on the phone, adopted military family, and we know you're on, Lisa, but I want to introduce you to Vicki and to Ralph Galati. You met the other day. Ralph was the guest speaker at the Chapel of the Four Chaplains at Bill Davenport and Logan here. But, Ralph, how did you handle when Christmas came? Did you know it was Christmas Day?
Yeah, in the prison camp, you knew what day it was because people were usually getting shot down. So you had a good sense of what it was. But, you know, but we were not allowed, you know, gifts and packages and mail, you know. So you did the best you could. You had like a little bit of a church service and you kind of did the best you could to keep your spirits up. But the one thing that was really helpful to us was we knew our families were safe. We couldn't get them anything, and we couldn't get anything from them, but at least we knew they were safe, and you'd hope you survived long enough to make it up to them.
Ralph, I'm going to ask you a really difficult question, and I hope it comes out right. If you're allowed to make two phone calls, I'm sure the first one would be to your wife, but do you think the second one would be the Full Circle Homes to say, hey, send my family something at Christmas? Wouldn't that have been cool?
If we'd have known about it, you know, it would have been, God, I'm going to get in trouble now. It might have been the first call to be sure that they were taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, because they suffered, families of POWs, MIAs, you know, missing in action, you know, they suffer a lot because of all the uncertainty. That's the big deal. It's just, you know, we knew we were okay. We knew our families were okay. Our families didn't know anything other than the horror stories. And to be able to reward them in even a small way would have been just incredible.
Ralph, in all honesty, families didn't know day to day if you were still alive.
Right, right. Day to day. You're right.
Bill, do you remember Christmas being able to send something home or whatever?
No, I don't.
Wait a
no.
minute. Do Marines believe in bows and packages and all? I don't know, Bill, if the Marines believe in. They have to because Vicky's son's a Marine.
Yeah. We definitely, but it was difficult to find appropriate gifts. A card, maybe, but, and of course, gift certificates and gift cards weren't invented then. You know, I spent 3 Christmases away, so I know how difficult it is.
So, are we all in agreement that full circle home is really necessary to take that loneliness and that disappointment of a veteran that might be, you know, on the 38th parallel in Korea, maybe not be able to get a present, maybe not have enough money, you know? $80 a month we got when we went to Vietnam. It's not like we had a pocket full of money to go Christmas shopping. And Bill, what do you think about Vicky and her organization?
I think it's a great organization. It's just, you know, I'm sure it's one of many throughout the country because we interview a lot of folks, and we're glad that people in everyday America are doing things like this and help supporting our veterans and their families. Right, and when you make the families happy, you make the neighbors happy. And the whole community doesn't worry as much. Because a death of a soldier or a sailor does affect the community, especially the smaller communities where everybody knows everyone else.
Yeah. Lisa, am I saying your last name? I've only known you 10 years. Quance?
Quancy. Yes.
And you're from you're from the great little town, the Hallmark town, I call it, Haddonfield. And tell us what you do. What's Adopt a Military? And you've been given awards by everyone for your volunteerism. Your Haddonfield resident wins USO Volunteer of the Year Award. You worked
thank you.
Religiously at the airport for the USO and all.
Yeah. But
tell us what Adopt a Military Family is.
Sure. Well, as you say, I've been volunteering with just 14 years in November. At the USO Hospitality Center in Philadelphia that has kind of morphed in many ways. We've moved locations, we've changed our services to some one or another extent, but you're always going to get a friendly face and something to eat and a clean, comfortable place to sit that's, you know, out of the hustle and bustle of the airport. And all the volunteers, you know, we know the airport, we know the police, we know, have contacts with the airline. We help in every way we possibly can to make airline travel smooth for not only just our soldiers and service members, but their families, their dependents, their spouses. A lot of times they're, I think, traveling even with parents. So, you know, we just try to make their silly experience better than it can be. And if you've ever been through Philadelphia Airport, sometimes it's a little tricky, so we try to cut off all the rough edges. The Adopt a Military program was something that I volunteered to do with a larger team many years ago. And as I say, you know, missions change, and it sort of wasn't something the USO continued after a certain point, but at that point, I had so many contacts at area bases, and I have just, I'm not kidding you, 100 Santas, probably 100 plus, who are so thrilled about participating year after year after year that I just, when the USO decided not to organize it, I decided that I would do it myself. And funny enough that you're calling today, but we're actually coming back from visiting my daughter and granddaughter and my son-in-law in New York for her birthday. And I'm heading back because I got 6 people coming to drop gifts off. So how the information comes through now is I work directly with personnel at the bases, you know, first sergeants and commanding officers. And I guess my name just gets passed along from leadership after leadership, and then they really find me. I don't have to find them anymore because I guess I have a little star next to my name, you know, and they give me details on the families, and sometimes it's you know, just a spouse. Sometimes it's a single mom with a couple of kids who's working and she's having a tough time. Sometimes it's a deployed spouse, so they want the family to be taken care of, much like Vicky's doing in reverse. We're doing it, you know, because they're away, but we're taking care of the families as well. Sometimes it's as simple as, you know, one of the spouses had to, mom had to leave her job because, you know, grandma moved in and she needs help. So maybe money's a little tight this year. So we get the details of the ages of the kids and if we're lucky, what their specific likes are. And I farm it out to all of my Santas. And my house turns into the North Pole in the next couple of days. And so our
and Lisa, wouldn't it be great? There's a lot of families out there that have a lot. There's a lot of families out there that have nothing. Wouldn't it be great if we got every family at Christmas time that had plenty, that buy 50 presents for their husbands or 50 presents for their wives? If I know me myself, I said to my wife, if you're going to spend X amount of dollars and buy me 10 presents, I don't need anything. Get 10 envelopes. Mm-hmm. The money you would spend on that present, spend it to adopt a military family or trees for our troops or full circle homes. Wouldn't it be great if – I think that's got to be one of the best gifts you can give when you give a gift to someone that needs something.
Agreed. And what I'll add to that is the beauty of this program is – you know, everyone, I can tell you right now, I can count on one hand in the 14 years the people who have heard about this program and decided not to take part. Because you could take part in the smallest way. You could bring me one toy. You could bring me one sweater or a pair of gloves. Or you could bring me 40 presents. It doesn't matter. Whatever your resources provide, you can even provide in the smallest way. Even if it's just a gingerbread house kit for the kids to do, you know, as a family gift. And people love to do it. They love to come to my house. They love to drop it off. And then the best part, here's the best part, is when I get the... I'm going to come down. There's been a time or two where they've actually arrived with a military vehicle because they were picking up so much stuff. I invite all the donors to come to the house and help load up. And, you know, everyone can't. Obviously, they're working sometimes during the day. But the ones who do, it's such a memorable experience. It's almost you just get addicted to the fun and the joy of it. And they do it year after year. Absolutely. I have three high school girlfriends who, God bless them, these are not women of exorbitant means. One is a good friend, a best friend of my sister. Her brother Timmy McSweeney was a firefighter lost on 9/11. Another is a high school classmate, Peggy, and her husband, Glenn Perry, was also lost that day. And then a couple other girlfriends. And between the three of them, live in New York, and we're not really going to be able to. It's a long drive to get this stuff down here. Between the three of them, I had nearly $1,000 to spend on food.
Well,
and the great part about that, too, is when I go to a store and I tell them what I'm shopping for, they go, okay, we'll give you an additional 20% off all the sale prices. So even the stores want to help if you just go out there and say it.
You know, Lisa, you and I have known one another for years. I never met you. I'm standing,
yes,
Ralph and Bill, and Vicky, I'm standing at the chapel on Thursday, and
that's right.
Mrs. Hammond comes over to me. I think it was Mrs. Hammond.
Diane, uh-huh.
Was with me, and she said, Joe, you know Lisa. And then all of a sudden, listen, Haddonfield works at the USO. Like, your whole bio just came back to my mind. Because
I've talked on your show. I think this might be the third time or maybe even the fourth time, but we've never actually met face-to-face. And it was so neat when Diane said, well, you know who that is, right? That's Joe Griffey. And I said, oh, my gosh, no, I don't. But I'm dying to meet him because I've never met him. I've only talked to him on the phone.
Wait a minute, Lisa. More important than you and me, tell us briefly who the lady was that you were with yesterday.
Oh, Diane. Okay, so Diane Hammond is just, I mean, if you want to pick you know, the five people that you've ever met in a certain situation that you'll never forget, and she's one of them. So, not to bring your show down because it's on such a high note, and I don't mean it down as in just when I started volunteering, Diane had already begun her volunteer service with the USO, and I started. It was a pretty hairy time, right? 14 years ago, we were losing a lot of our soldiers and Marines and airmen over far away. And what Philadelphia has is kind of a unique relationship with Dover Air Force Base, yes, where there's the East Coast Mortuary, where all remains coming from everywhere but Asia come through. And because we're the closest civilian airport, the families who need to get down to Dover Air Force Base for the DT, dignified transfers, they come through our airport, and USO
That's
volunteers.
That's the Philadelphia International Airport. That's
yes,
where the USO is based out of.
Yeah, so our volunteers will meet them at the gate with their military escort, and we facilitate their travel, whether they're going to get picked up by a car transport from Dover, or they're renting a car. And as you know, and you know, many times you're going through a new airport, you don't know it. It's confusing and a pain in the neck, but you're going through it at a very sort of traumatic and terrible time. So anyone that can make your transport in and out of the airport easy, simpler, worry-free, carefree, it's a great benefit for the families not to have any hiccups. We talk to TSA, we talk to the police, we talk to Homeland Security. We open up separate security lines to them when they're coming home. Anyway, in a short story, Diane does this. And I began as a volunteer because I wanted to join this detail. And it wasn't long before just in talking to her that I realized that, you know, in conversation, I found out that she was a Gold Star mom. And my brain, still today, I don't know how she does it. She's that strong a person, because I can't imagine someone who went through that having the back, you know, what it takes to do that job again. But that's how pure her heart is. That's how strong a person she is.
And she lost her son. What's your son's name?
Sandrino.
He did when yes. Bill and Ralph
he was
his
an
seventh,
Army Ranger
on his seventh
and
tour
he was,
in Iraq.
Army Ranger Extortion 17, I believe, was the event for the loss of Sandrino, and I think a number of his teammates as well. But she's an inspirational woman, and she, because of her connection with Wings Across America, which once I found out about, is another program I'm absolutely over the moon about. And for the last couple of years, I've met up with them twice in New Jersey, last year and the year before, and this year over in Philadelphia at the Navy Yard, at the chapel. So there's everything about this program is so good, and meeting the growers, yeah, the Worcesters from Northern Maine. I mean, the whole thing is just loaded with people you want to surround yourself with, who do such good in so many ways. And I just watched the wreath laying a few minutes ago, where the Wreath Across America, where it was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So that was pretty neat.
With our friend Richard Azzaro was there, I'm sure. Listen, we only got a minute, Lisa. We're going to bring up a guy, and he has the audacity. You know what he's doing today? My friend Rodney Little, he's giving out 2,500 brand-new winter coats down in Dover, Delaware to people. 22 pallets, a whole tractor trailer full of coats, and we want to get them all. But real quick, give a number where people can make a donation to your charity.
856-357-6164. And I have a deadline of the 5th, late on the 15th, because our pickups are scheduled from my house on the 16th, 17th, and 18th. And you know what I'll do, Joe, when I get home, because it was spoiled the turnpike heading back south, I'll send you a picture of what my house looks like.
It is
spectacular.
And listen, we'll talk to you during the year, you know, I'm around, anything that you need. God bless you.
Yes, please.
Thanks for making time. Vicki, stay with us. We want to come back to you when we come back on the air. You're listening to the Welcome Home Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Now it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Now the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow.
Welcome back, everyone, to WIBG 398-1020, the Welcome Home Show. I'm here with my partners, Bill Davenport, Logan Runyon, Ralph Galati. Ralph, we could go on forever talking about all the great people that are doing things. Yesterday at the Regional Course of America, the chapel, it was good seeing Patrick Hughes there and Jerry Tempesta. Dave Gillespie was there. Of course, you and just many, Sam Wheeler, so many, so many people, the chapel, Michelle, Captain Lou, Bill did a great job emceeing. I just thought everything was really, really great. And Vicki, give a number before we forget. We only have a few minutes left. Give a number where people can make contributions. And tell us, you send a gift to either a girlfriend or to a mom. There's like 12 wrap packages in the box, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
What are some of the items?
Well, we have both men's boxes for the husbands and the dads and the brothers at home, and also women's boxes. So, like in the women's boxes, there's a beautiful custom bracelet. There's the best toffee in the planet. It's called Crack Toffee. Some rifle paper journal and pens. Margo Elena out of Denver actually donates up to 2,500 items, straight out donation, and they're beautiful. The men's box, some of the things are, we have a 50 cal bottle opener, which is lots of fun. We have some Duke Cannon, a big-ass brick of soap, and some other fun things, some socks, and a cool microfiber cloth, because we always need those. But obviously the most important thing is the love note, the handwritten love note from the service member, because so much is said in a note that's not said verbally or in a text or in an email. So there's a lot of really heartfelt messages in these, along with every...
It must take a lot of wrapping paper.
Well, we don't wrap each one. We actually go through 5 miles of ribbon. And we... And
wait,
we have
wait,
a company.
Wait a minute. Who yeah. measures 5 miles of ribbon?
Well, I a love company, it. A volunteer said, my husband has a company that makes backpacks and things like that, field techs, for first responders, for the military. So they just pop our beautiful ribbon on their machines and cuts 5 miles of it exactly to measure. So there's a lot of people involved in making this happen. And that's the joy of it. That is.
Hey, Ralph, what do you think of this lady?
I got to say one thing. I've heard all these stories. I don't think any of these people are millionaires, and they could have done a one and done. First thing that came to mind was they could have done it one time, felt really good about it, and that would have been the end of it. But these ladies with these programs, they just persisted, you know, either out of their pocket or walking around with a tin cup, you know, soliciting money and would not let it die. And that's the big thing I remember. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Vicki, do you do this all year long?
Oh, yeah, because as soon as we clean up after Christmas, we'll start planning for Mother's Day and Father's Day. And we have monthly boxes for birthday anniversaries or sometimes just because. And they're a little smaller, but they still have the note, and it's still just something that's going to connect them.
Well, I don't know how we can do this on the show, but I've and you know, we've talked during the week, and we had Carrie Ray on when we couldn't get hold of you, you were away, and then you called me. Never do we have back-to-back people on. I just was out of touch. Our show wants to be part of what you're doing. I don't know how we can do it or how we can contribute or whatever, but we have charities that we can help you. I'm just blown away that you get a veteran in Walter Reed Hospital that's ill, and he gives his mom a present. You can't make this up, Vicki.
And sometimes, Joe, we have to write it for them because they can't write it.
Yeah, how was your, especially if they lost both arms.
Exactly. But, you know, we walk in there and it's, you know, just look them in the eye and we're like the happy ladies. And we try to make everything normal, which is, nothing is normal. But this gives them back the honor to be able to do something as simple and normal as giving their loved ones a gift.
Well, you know,
we've
been trying to get our friend Rodney Little on the phone. I spoke to him when I was in the cemetery with Regent Christian American in Cape May County this morning. And Rodney said in about a half hour, we're going to start giving out through Odd Lots donated so much. They do. I think they got about 800 stores around the country. And they just, one of the largest veterans donators. And they're not looking for a thanks or a pat on the back. But they donated 2,500 winter coats for men and women, homeless veterans. And we're giving them to all homeless people. And I said to him, I said, Rodney, we got to make sure if somebody's not homeless, we give them a coat, because with the price of electric bills and gas bills today, they may have a home, but it may not have the heat on. So we got to make sure. So, Vicki, what you do, give a number out where people can make a contribution. Now, if somebody has a jewelry or a perfume or a book, anything that they can donate that's new, that can be part of the gift. You'll accept it also, right?
Well, not quite, because we have to make 1,000 gifts exactly alike. So if somebody wants,
then
to
you got
to
donate 1,000 bottles of perfume. That's easy. Just give me their number. I'll get them to
that's
donate.
That's what I mean. So, but we do have the boxes for Walter Reed are smaller, and those are 75. So, you know, we kind of work with that, and sometimes people just have tissue drives because there's a packet of tissue in every box, and that's critical. And certainly online donations, they can write a note that we'll put in the box for them. They can go to fullcirclehome.org, and they can read some of the letters that we've received back.
I know I'm going to get a phone call before we go off the air. How can a soldier in Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, find out about your organization?
Well, they could just go online and send Carrie or myself an email, or they can sign up for the monthly box. But what I try to do is, somebody signs up, I say, how many in your unit, and can you get it out to, you know, 20 guys or 100? How many in your unit? Connect me with your chaplain. And that's happened. One guy on a sub reached out, and he said, would you take care of me? And we're like, absolutely. Can you share this with your sub mates? And we ended up taking care of the whole sub, which was quite a feat, because it's not easy to do.
Well, I happened to have the honor of being on the USS New Jersey last September for 4 days, and underwater 2 days, and above water 2 days, on the new USS New Jersey with 128 crew members, 28 women, 100 men. So next year, we'll help you. Our show will adopt that submarine, and we'll get gifts, and we'll get money, and whatever you need, and we'll get the USS New Jersey. We'll get them gifts.
That would be cool. And we'll come down and we'll rap with you.
Yeah, but we'll rap during the show. We'll do a show and we'll
rap. Exactly.
And I'm good friends with the new governor of New Jersey. I'm sure we can get her to be on the show with us. And
awesome. And
Senator Testiff, that's from the area down here. And listen, there's no politics in Christmas. Santa Claus was Santa Claus. He wasn't a Republican. He wasn't a Democrat. He may have been a veteran, but he's not a politician. Listen, we got to say thank you. Ralph, God bless you. You know, I love you, buddy.
You're great.
And
great job again, Joe. Great show.
Just remember that, everyone. Santa Claus isn't a Republican or a Democrat. He could be a veteran, though. A lot of them are veterans. And just God bless everyone. And we hope to be back with you next week again. Thank you.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow find it hard to sleep tonight.
They know that
Merry Christmas.